Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. In the last couple years, they stepped into the classroom as teachers for the first time with high hopes and all kinds of excitement. This is year two or year three, and we're about to find out just how hopeful and excited these young teachers still are and just what they learned about the world of teaching children. Later on this hour, which fruits and vegetables are the most and least likely to retain pesticides? You're going to want to find out. But first up, our early career teachers. With us today are Caitlin Rowe. She's a fourth grade teacher at the Frontier School of Innovation, a charter school within the Kansas City, Missouri School District. Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you. Also with us is her fourth grade partner at the Frontier School, Ashley Martinez. Ashley, good to have you too.
Thank you.
And Jackie Flowers is here. She's been an educator for 2 years, and tomorrow begins her first full year at Brookside Charter School at 63rd and the Paseo. Jackie, nice to have you too.
Thank you.
Good morning. Well, tell us about the experiences you had going into your first years at the Frontier School, or Jackie, in your case, where you were in KCK. How excited were you, and what were you expecting? Jackie, why don't you lead us off here?
My first year teaching was interesting. I was actually a paraprofessional at a school in KCK. I was with 6th and 7th grade.
Working with special ed kids.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had about 15 kids on my caseload, so I would follow them around throughout the day to different classes. And my first experiences involved trying to impress them and make them like me. And I feel like that, in my experience, just in general with anybody, kind of always bombs.
And really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that especially that age, they can really, really pick up on, you know, who you are and how you're projecting yourself.
If you're trying too hard.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so I definitely, within my first couple of weeks, was just thinking, you know, I don't really have to do that. I can just be myself and they'll like me for who I am. And I tend to be a little bit more goofy and silly. And so as I let that come out, I was like, okay, this is good. Like, this is working. So
you know, I've done a little teaching at UMKC, and I can really relate to what you're talking about, because you do have this tendency where you want them to like you right away. And I'm thinking, yeah, after a while, you're like, why am I working that so hard?
Right. You know, and I just, that was definitely something. And even in my second year, I was at a different school. And I was with high schoolers, so I felt that pressure even more. And the reality is just be yourself, because they can really see those things. And for me, my style, my personality and all of that, it was definitely more on a level of, you know, more laid back and silly, even though there needs to be that seriousness there. And they appreciated that. So I'm going to take that into account this time around and just be myself. So,
Ashley Martinez, how about you? What's the overall thought about your first year?
My first year was really exciting. I was just I was really, really nervous when I first started. But
I bet
during my student teaching, I struggled a lot with classroom management. So I was really trying to prepare myself to, you know, do well with that aspect. And
classroom management means keeping the kids quiet and paying attention.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, keeping them quiet and engaged and actually wanting to listen to what you're talking about.
What's the trick? I mean, and what grade of kids are you talking about?
I've only taught third. My student teaching was third grade, and then I've taught fourth grade. And
those are years when kids don't want to pay a lot of attention.
9 and 10, yeah, and they're really just starting to, you know, get their group of friends, and they want to talk to them. And last year, me and Miss Rowe dealt with the girls, you know, starting to like the boys, and they were just, you know, wanting to talk about it all the time and writing notes to each other, and it's just like, oh boy. But yeah, it was that was what I really wanted to work on, and like just building a trust and a relationship with like the individual students, the ones that you knew were gonna kind of venture off and get out of their seats and move around and talk a lot. Those ones are the ones you really needed to build the relationships with so that you could keep them on track. And
well, what was the key for you to learn how to manage, to use your word, managing a classroom? What was your secret that you came across to sort of get those kids under control a little bit?
Well, I just tried to be real, like, they say, one of the things they say to teachers is don't smile for the first 6 months, you know. Don't, you know, be super nice because then they think they can kind of walk all over you. So
even for fourth graders?
Especially fourth graders.
And Caitlin's nodding her head vigorously
yes.
here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, just trying not to, because, I mean, I just like everybody, you know, we all teachers are kind of, I think, goofy. You know, especially when they're in front of the kids and, you know, really teaching. And we try to, you know, keep them interested. And that's why we act so goofy and silly. But we have to, you know, like know when to turn it on and off and, you know.
So when you walk into the classroom this year, you know, Ashley, are you going to instill the fear of God in them the first couple of weeks? Is that sort of a game plan to really sort of say, I'm no nonsense, at least initially, to get that message across?
Yeah, and and that's what I did last year too. You know, the first week is like, you know, we do little games and stuff, and I give them, you know, a few little like jokes here and there, and you know, to try to warm up them a little bit. But yeah, I'm pretty serious. I go in with a straight face, and I'm like, here's the rules, here's what we're gonna do, and they respond well to that. You know, kids need structure, boundaries, and. So they know what to expect.
Caitlin, it sounds like you're buying what she's saying completely here.
100%.
She's speaking the truth to you here, eh?
Oh, yes. We work as a team, so I think of a lot. What we do is a lot of tough love. You know, get to say, you know, we care about you. We're glad you're here, but we're also here to work. We can have our fun, but there's times to switch it off and learn.
Yeah. So this year, again, when you walk in with this fourth grade class, it's going to be pretty serious for a while.
Yeah, for the first couple of weeks until I can finally show my personality and get goofy and dance around the classroom.
Yeah.
But they need to know my expectations first.
And that's the lesson learned here, that you can't show your personality to a fourth grade class, maybe at least for the first few days.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the lesson you've picked up here, right?
Yes. I want them to get to know me, but I also want to get to know them and build that relationship on who are you? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? So that way I can start planning lessons around them and they'll be interested and they'll want to learn and come and feel that bond.
Caitlin Rowe, I mean, why fourth grade? As you know, as Ashley was just saying here, that's such an interesting age because the kids are pretty squirrely, right? That's the word here, right?
Oh, squirrely to the extreme.
Yeah, this is their squirrely to the max sort of years. So why fourth grade? I mean, first grade, they're real cute and cuddly. 10th grade, they're becoming adults, and 12th grade maybe a little bit. So why fourth grade?
I think fourth grade is a perfect age. They're young. You can still do cartoons or some kind of kid-like activity, but you can still talk to them like young adults. You can have conversations. You can.
They understand some concepts
absolutely.
At that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you like it?
I loved it. I can't believe the first year's already over, going back for the second year. I love, love, love it.
Because why?
Because?
Yeah.
Just because I love the kids. I mean, that's why most teachers, I'd say, you go for the kids. And we have great kids. They're fun. They keep me, you know, they keep me goofy. And each day is a different day. You have 50, 60 different options you have to make every day with kids. You go here. You do this. You cut this. There's just so many different things.
But when that bell rings at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm guessing you're going, you're full throttle. You are really fully engaged with 110 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with lessons, if you show you that you're excited, then the kids are going to start acting excited. It could be the most boring lesson in the world, but if you're enthused, and that's going to rub off on the kids, and they're going to start getting excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jackie, you know, my sense of teaching these days that a lot of the members of the public think, well, you know, you walk in the classroom at 8, you're done at 3. Mm-hmm. That's a cupcake schedule. That's really easy. But my sense is this is really a hard job.
Yeah, definitely.
And having spent a little time with my kids growing up at Westwood View Elementary, and I watched those teachers, and boy, my sense of what they do just turned completely around. That's a tough job.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, when you're a teacher, you're not just there and, you know, filling these kids' heads. You're building relationships with them. And so anything that happens throughout your day, you're going to take home with you in some way or another.
Yeah.
You definitely have to learn where to put that and how to deal with that. But I think because of that, if you're really building relationships and you're really getting involved in their lives, you're going to carry, you know, whether it's you know, a student had a really bad day, they had a breakdown, or, you know, even their greatest accomplishments, it's gonna affect your own life. For me in special education, we have a whole other realm that you deal with involving creating educational plans for children, in which you actually literally create these documents for every student. And yeah. That sometimes can be that goes beyond just your school hours. I've had so many teachers tell me, you know, the one thing with special education to be prepared for is it might be a little bit more than 40 hours a week, because you're going to be working on those documents, preparing for meetings with students and parents and teachers and all of that. And so that's definitely something that's more than just like, you know, leaving it at school. Sometimes you take that home with you and you have to work on that. So it's definitely, it's such a relational atmosphere that it's, you know, you just take it home with you and you take it into your own life. So.
Yeah, actually, I'm guessing 40 hours a week is a joke, right? It's more than 40.
Oh yeah, and we're just general education teachers, you know, just regular classroom teachers. Special ed, their job, they really have their work cut out for them. And I mean, on average, I would say I'm in the school building at least 50 hours a week. You know, 7 to 5 every day, and that's just being there, teaching, and you know, getting the classroom ready in the morning and afternoon.
It was Caitlin who would slack off and work like 30 hours a week.
I know, she
was the slacker.
I'm the lazy one.
Doing all her grading, it was just a nightmare. No, yeah. But yeah. So I mean, you know, just a general education teacher, we work at least, you know, 50 or so hours a week. And everybody's like, well, you get all these holidays off. And I'm like, we have to, you know, if we don't have these days off, I don't know if I could cope, you know.
Cause is that how you feel about it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I go home and I grade and then I get ready for school the next day. You know, I mean, like my weekdays are consumed with school. The weekends, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, I'll have time to do a little something, you know, or Sunday morning. But I mean, I spend a good portion of my time planning and preparing. And I mean, and it works out to my benefit too. You know, if I'm prepared and I have all my plans in order and know exactly how I want my lesson to run, it runs a lot smoother and my kids are getting what they came for.
Well, again, if you're in the classroom with the same group of kids all day long, you're going from one subject to another, you sort of have to have yourself prepared so you know where you're going, right? I mean, preparations, I'm guessing that's it. That's the game, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of prep. And we're actually, Caitlin and I are really lucky because we, even though we're in fourth grade, I only teach math. She only teaches communication arts. So I'll see about 60 to 75 students a day, but I'm only teaching math. So.
And even then, you were still doing 50 hours a week or so.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Caitlin, you're nodding your head.
100%. You bet. We had Saturday school. And so for a few hours on Saturday, we'd go into school and teach.
What's Saturday school?
It's just getting ready for the test, the big test in April, ready for the MAP test. So,
do all your kids come to Saturday school?
Students who don't perform well on the practice test come to Saturday school.
And some students just volunteer to come. They'd rather be at school than be at home.
No kidding.
Oh, I'm surprised at how many kids choose to come to Saturday school.
Yeah.
Well, explain that to me. They choose to come. Why? Are things just bad at home? Or
I'm sure some of it is stuff going on at home. They come to school. It's just a normal day, except they get to dress in their normal clothes instead of their uniform. They get breakfast. They get about 30 minutes of talking before classes actually start. And then it's just a smaller setting. On Saturdays, we had two groups with about 10 kids each. And so it was a smaller setting. So they feel more comfortable opening up. And for me, they would read out loud. And during the normal school day, they wouldn't, because they were afraid that because they might be bad readers. And so Saturday school definitely gave them the support that they need to succeed.
Just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR, and we're visiting this morning with a couple of early career teachers, several of them, Caitlin Rowe, Ashley Martinez, both from the Frontier School of Innovation. That's a charter school within the Kansas City, Missouri School District, right? And also with us is Jackie Flowers, who this year, tomorrow, begins her first full year at Brookside Charter School at 63rd and the Paseo. And if by any chance you are an early career teacher and want to share your experiences, what was the best day you had? What was the worst day? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Jackie, what is a charter school? Just remind some of our listeners who get confused between what all
sure.
that is.
Yeah. Yeah, a charter school is a school that's usually sponsored by somebody. For instance, Brookside Charter, maybe Frontier, I'm not sure. They're sponsored, Brookside is sponsored by UMKC.
So is Frontier.
Right. And so it's basically a school that is set up within a school district, typically districts that maybe aren't performing well. And what those charter schools do is they provide a free public education to students within that district. And they're funded by the state. So you have to do state testing still. Mm-hmm. You're having to continually get that money from the state, so you're having to keep up with those test scores.
Yeah.
Basically, they're just a lot of times there's schools that parents will really try hard to get their kids into that school because they may have a certain emphasis, or they may have they just may have a great reputation. There's a lot of great charters in Kansas City, actually.
You know, Caitlin and Ashley, Jackie just mentioned that some schools UMKC is involved with. Didn't you guys were involved in a program where UMKC faculty would come and sort of help you during your first year? Caitlin, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they came out to visit my classroom because I graduated from UMKC, and they want to give that support to first-year teachers.
What a great idea.
It's fantastic. And I came through this project called Project Cause through UMKC during my undergraduate. Project Cause.
Cause.
Change
okay.
Agents CA for Urban School Excellence.
Ah.
So
that's a big emphasis at UMKC is this whole urban school teaching, right?
It's huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad UMKC got me into an urban school because you just make such a difference in these children's lives.
You can see it.
Absolutely.
And how did UMKC help you that first year? Like, what kind of advice and counsel did you receive?
They gave me support when I was nervous on the first day. They called me down. They said, it's okay to be nervous. It's a good thing. That means you're excited to be here. You are in the job that you love. You should be excited. You should have emotion. They came in every Friday and helped me with different things, such as spelling tests or labeling my library or different ideas on how to teach things in more creative ways.
I bet that was really helpful.
It was definitely helpful. It was a little nerve-wracking at first because you have your old professors and they're looking at you and
they're sitting in the
you
classroom.
Get nervous. You're like, oh, am I doing this right? But they're really nice. They're not grading you anymore. So it was more comfortable.
Ashley, how much help were they to you?
I actually graduated from Rockhurst, and so UMKC didn't come
do
and
that.
Visit me, and neither did Rockhurst. I was all alone. I had Caitlin. But I mean, I would have liked to have maybe not quite as structured as her mentor program was, but something maybe just like a teacher inside the school that could have, you know, that I could go to, you know,
did
if
you
I
have
need
that?
Anything. Well, we didn't have a specific teacher assigned or anything, but lucky for us, our administration is great. And so, you know, you didn't feel uncomfortable like asking them questions that, you know, sometimes you don't want to like, what time do we go to lunch or when's my plan period? You know, you didn't want to be like, oh, I need a break. But so that was but they made it like really comfortable for us to be able to talk to them.
Did you ever develop one person who became a mentor for you?
I would say, I don't know. Miss Kosick, you know, is who I my go-to person. She's
my go-to person too. Miss Kosick. Yeah, sounds like a neat lady.
So jack of all trades.
Yeah,
she is. She's our dean of students, and she just, you know, she has the answers to all the questions that I ever had. So anytime I needed anything, I just go to her, and she'd get me right through it. And
Jackie, did you have a mentor your first year?
Yes, I did. As a paraprofessional, I was actually paired with a special education teacher. So, and it just so happened that I had just started my master's at UMKC in special education.
Oh, good for you.
And I was the first year I had to do an apprenticeship, and within that, they actually do match you up with a mentor teacher. And so the SPED teacher that I was paired with just served as my mentor teacher. And it was extremely helpful because there were so many things that, you know, I was just beginning my training in special education. And so there was a lot of things that I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know, you know, like even, you know, what ways do I work with a student who has a learning disability versus a student with an intellectual disability. So things like that were huge because I could always go to her and ask her questions anytime, you know, during the day, or call her, email her. So yeah, it was extremely helpful.
And you got to have something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your darkest day. I imagine there must have been a moment or a time during your first year when the workload was fairly intense, when you didn't know how to connect with a kid, perhaps. Caitlin, does something come to mind that you recall that it was things were sort of starting to pile up for you a little bit?
Well, I first want to say every full moon was when yes. the kids go crazy.
Yes.
I believe
Seriously?
In that moon. I'm dead
yep.
serious. And I feel
That's
like you can
true.
Ask any teacher. And when there's a full moon, the kids have lost their minds. Forget
no kidding.
Everything. Absolutely. So weird. But any full moon day was definitely
you
a
too,
chaotic
Jackie?
Day.
You're not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we would all the teachers would talk about it. Absolutely, yeah. There was always those days it was just like, I remember I would go to one of my teacher friends and I'd say, gosh, they're really crazy today. What's going on? And she's like, full moon. And it would always be the case. Yep.
So do you recall a day when or a time period your first year where you were thinking, what have I gotten myself into here?
Nothing that bad. I've never gone home thinking, oh, my gosh, I need to quit my job and go do something else. I've had rough days. Probably just days leading up to the MAP test. It was so stressful. I just want to make sure that the kids are going to perform. You know, they work so hard during the school year, and it all boils down to a test. And I know that they could do it, but do they feel the pressure? Did I teach everything? Did I go through all the steps? Are they going to know how to answer this? It was more me just freaking myself out instead of the kids.
How do you feel about that, this notion that there's a test out there lurking that will sort of be the judge of all that you've accomplished in the course of your year?
I think it's horrible.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope I don't get in trouble. No. I think
well, no,
that
people feel, a lot of teachers feel that way.
Oh,
right?
A lot of them feel that way. I think it's so crazy. The kids can do so well in class, but if you give them a test, a lot of kids have test anxiety. They just have a test and they know it's important, so it freaks them
yes.
out in their mind.
Yes.
They start, you know, some of them get physically sick just because of this test, and it means so much in charter schools.
Hmm. How do you deal with that anxiety?
I run.
It's an
exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call
Take a
sick.
Personal
yeah.
day. No.
Yeah.
I just, in my mind, I just prepare myself. Yeah, I taught everything. I've gone through everything. I have support. I have Ashley. We talk all the time of, you know, you've got this. You can do it. You're fine. They're fine. They know this. It's just that support from
yeah.
friends and family.
Ashley, what was your toughest time?
I think I talked to Danny about this.
Our producer.
Yeah, the producer. One of the things, like my biggest challenges last year was we had a certain student and it was just it was a constant struggle. And, you know, all of the fourth grade teachers were always calling home, trying to get through to the parents and, you know, get that support from home. And we just never got it. And we really we had such a bright girl, such a good girl. And we were just we knew that if we couldn't get any support because she, you know, we couldn't hold the pencil for her in her hand to have her do work in class, you know, and
she wasn't getting the support. You weren't getting the support you needed from her parents.
Right, exactly.
To sort of encourage her and move her
yeah,
along.
Yeah, or like, you know, I mean, if students know that, you know, if you say, oh, I'm gonna call home, you know, if you can't get it together, then, you know, most of the kids will be like, oh, okay, you know, I'll do the right thing now. But that wasn't even, you know, there was no point in even saying that because she knew that nothing would happen and we knew that we couldn't really get through to home anyway.
And just speaking in broad terms, I don't want to violate anything, but the issue at home was what? Just parents that didn't care or what? What were you up against?
I think it was a lot of, and not just didn't care, but maybe had too much going on at home.
Other
you know,
stuff.
That just, yeah, too many other children and things to deal with, you know. we're in a Title I school district. Some of our students struggle financially, you know, and I'm sure that probably might have played a part, you know, mom or dad trying to.
And I gather you reached out to mom or dad and said, we need a little help here?
Yeah, well, and we tried to. A lot of the times it was just we couldn't even get through. You know, none of the phone numbers would work or nobody would answer. We'd leave messages. Nobody would call back. It was just really
– That's got to be frustrating.
That was hard. But it's the little – you know, I mean, those – that happens, you know, to every teacher. But it's the success stories, the good stories that, like, get you through and keep you going. And you know that, you know, maybe – you couldn't get through this year, but maybe next year the new teacher can, or, you know, something will change or spark them.
Jackie Flowers, your toughest day.
Oh, my. Okay. Moment of vulnerability.
That's what public radio is all about. You just let it all hang out here. We're all friends.
So my first year as a para, working with the students that I had, first of all, the school was actually, it was a pretty rough school. There were discipline issues there in general, but also some of the students that I had maybe had like emotional disorders or behavioral disorders. And I can recall at least two times going to the bathroom and just crying because I was like, I don't know what to do. And I wasn't fully prepared at that point in time.
Yeah.
And so definitely had those moments where I just was like, I have to leave for a second. And I was able to because I was in a classroom where there was a gen ed teacher and I was working with students individually as the teacher was teaching the class.
You could take a break.
Right. Yeah. And that's definitely something within that position. It's like, you know. That's allowed completely. Yeah. You know, you have your little breaks that you're allowed to take. And, but yeah, there was at least two times where I was just like, I just have to go away right now. I need to go to the bathroom. And I would just, you know, just let it out because it was like, this is very difficult. There's things going on here that this child doesn't even understand about themselves. And, you know, they're out of control at certain moments in time and it would get very overwhelming at times. And, you know, I am actually more of a sensitive person as it is. So it was difficult at times, but it was a huge learning experience for me on how to work with kids who are having those kinds of difficulties.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we take a break right now in the show. And usually during these breaks, I go to the bathroom and just let it all out.
We can go.
Just cry away.
I may do that too.
Kind of regrouped a little bit again here. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with our early career teachers about how they got their jobs to begin with. And later on this hour, which fruits and vegetables are the most and least likely to retain pesticides? You're going to want to find out. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed Friday's conversation with our independent foreign and documentary film critics, you can find that and a whole lot more at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, Academy Award-nominated actress Diane Cannon joins us in the studio to talk about her latest project here in Kansas City. Well, this hour we're talking with some early career teachers, Caitlin Rowe, Ashley Martinez, both from the Frontier School of Innovation. It's a charter school inside the Kansas City, Missouri School District. And Jackie Flowers, who tomorrow begins her first full year at Brookside Charter School at 63rd and the Paseo. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Caitlin, I wanted to ask you about a student you had last year who had been held behind at least twice, and how that year played out with that student. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, it's my favorite story.
Yeah,
I would love
you're
to.
You're on.
Well, it started off the beginning of the year. He was a big troublemaker, would not listen to anything. He would do the opposite. Just, I don't care. I'll walk out of the classroom. He'd call kids names. And then probably about till September, or in probably about September, October, he just picked up a book one day, brought it over to me, and just started reading. And this is a boy who's been held back twice. He was reading at a first grade reading level. School is not his first priority or second or 10th. He's a troublemaker, but he read the book. He picked it up. He sat down, read it to me out loud, just so comfortable and confident, read the whole thing front to back. He understood it. He took a quiz, an accelerated reader quiz, got 100%. And
oh, my gosh.
That was the moment I started crying. I tried to hold it back. Then it was the end of the class, and I go to the teacher's lounge, and Ashley was there. I just start crying because I was so proud. It's one of the – that's why I got into education. It's times like that where the kids are just struggling, and then they just – on their own, his own will, he just picked up a book. And then the rest of the year, he had his moments, but – he became a reader, and he's moving on to fifth grade.
What flipped the switch in that young man?
Well, it's me, obviously. No.
I'll buy that.
No, I think it's building that relationship with him and getting him to realize, I see what you're going to do. I see that you're a troublemaker, but you can also be a good reader.
I think he felt like our fourth grade team really cared about him last year. You know what I mean? Like, he had a group of teachers who were really – really, and you know, we really wanted to make sure that he was successful this year and that he got to move on and that he didn't feel like he was just gonna, you know, be stuck in fourth grade or stuck on a first grade reading level forever, you know, like let him know that, you know, you like, and we were constantly telling him, like, you're so bright, you're so smart, you know, why are you doing this, you know?
Your fourth grade class, was he reading at a fourth grade level?
No, that's hard for him. He's also a English language learner.
Oh,
and so
okay.
He speaks Spanish predominantly, and then he doesn't get a lot of support at home reading. He talks Spanish at home. So when it comes to school, it's kind of switching gears, and it throws him off.
Well, as it would anybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of support. I told the administration about it, and they were so excited. They pulled him up into the principal's office and gave him some candy, said, keep up the good work.
Good for them.
And so I think he really got that support from the whole school, not even just the fourth grade teachers. Yeah. Everyone knows about him because he was a troublemaker, but bringing that bright story and showing that positive really made him feel good.
It's a great story.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank
great
you.
Great story. Let's go to some phone calls here. Jean from Kansas City, Missouri. Jean, good morning.
Good morning. I'm coming from the other end of the career spectrum. I'm starting my 38th year teaching.
Wow.
And I just wanted to ask the young ladies, I laughed out loud when they talked about the full moon, because that is absolutely the truth, totally the truth. But I wonder if they're aware of the trifecta of a full moon, the weather changing, and the holiday coming up.
Oh,
that's
when
it really gets crazy.
Oh, yes. Waiting for the day.
Right. I'll take any further comments off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, what about the full moon, guys?
Oh, it just was very, very consistent. The behavior, totally, there was a spike in the behavior. The just wild and crazy and not even necessarily, you know, bad behavior, but just out of character.
Just real quickly, tell us how you got your jobs and how difficult, if it was difficult, to land a position. Jackie, let me begin with you. How did that work out for you?
For Brookside Charter, I actually just this past year, I went ahead and took my certification test. Even though I don't have my full certification, I'm literally maybe three classes away from it. And with that, you can actually get a provisional certification. And as long as you're, you know, completing your education to be certified, you can start teaching.
Was it hard? Were a lot of applicants for the job?
For that job, I actually am unaware if there were a lot of applicants. I went into the interview and it was just a really great fit. And I got a call within, you know, the next, I think I found out maybe the day of. Yeah. And so
they
signed a contract the next week. Mm-hmm. It was just a really great fit with me and the school, and they were very willing to take, you know, a first year teacher, and take them under their wing. And I'm pretty positive they have pretty great special services at this school. So
yeah.
So yeah.
How about you, Ashley?
I knew I wanted to work in an urban school, and I wanted to work in a charter school just because I didn't think I was equipped to do the Kansas City, Missouri School District. I didn't know they were having a lot of problems, and I didn't even know if they were still hiring or if they were on a hiring freeze. And so I was just applying to charter schools. I got the job at Frontier and a different job at the same time. And I chose the job at Frontier because I felt like I was just more comfortable there. I felt like it was a better atmosphere.
A lot of competition for the job or not really?
I'm not sure if there was a lot. Sure. I mean, I know there was tons of applicants and people coming and go, like, you know, there was an applicant, you know, an interview right before my interview and then an interview right after my interview, which always, you know, you're like, oh, I hope I do better than they do. So, you know, I mean, apparently I did. So, I mean, I don't know if there was a lot of competition. I know it's hard for a lot of teachers to get jobs because they would prefer to work in a suburban school.
Oh, they sort of specify where they want to be, maybe knock themselves out of the running out of some districts that might need their help more.
Right, yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, we do struggle a little bit with, you know, parents and students and behavior, and a lot of teachers aren't cut out for that.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you all so much for coming in, and you do such great work. I can just tell, thanks to